have to do, go in, open up your account, tell them Steen sent you, and see what Northwest Bank can do for you. What they're going to be able to do is they're going to take care of all your personal, your business, your mortgage, agriculture if needed, private banking, wealth management, insurance. They have it all, and they have top-notch customer service. They're going to treat you like family. That's what you need when you're looking for a bank. Northwest Bank, member FDIC. My next guest is at David Eicholt. It would be David Eicholt. He is gracious enough to come in. He doesn't feel well, but we have some things on our mind that we need to get taken care of, and I'm glad he's here. David, thank you for coming in. We got some stuff to talk about, my friend.
Yeah, we do. No shortage of stuff to dig into, for sure.
Let's jump. Tomorrow night, we are doing a game watch and at Wellman's Rooftop in West Des Moines. It's Iowa-Michigan. These last two games for Iowa, more of a momentum builder, need them, or you know what, they're just going to play and we're going to see what happens with Michigan and then following up with Illinois.
You know, I think at worst, Dean, I think they need to split it. I think that a win against Michigan would be a really good start. I think, you know, you probably would be, you know, you don't really need them. But after Iowa getting that number four seed right now, if the Big Ten tournament started today, that double bye, you know, just how big of a factor it can be with Nebraska being Ohio State. Iowa, essentially, if they beat Michigan, I think they're in a really, really good spot to be able to lock down that four seed. And the reality is you want to see Iowa continue to play their best basketball of the season. They're 7-1 over the last eight games, and over the month of February, all seven of those wins came by double digits and by an average margin of 18.3 points. So, you know, they're really, really starting to put things together. It's obviously not a must win type thing because I think they are squarely in the NCAA tournament, but for that double bye, and if they want to make a run for a Big Ten tournament title, you can't over-exaggerate how important the extra day of rest can be.
Absolutely. One of the things that I've seen and wanted to get your opinion, they don't have lulls on offense in these past, let's say the last six, seven, eight games. They used to have periods of time when they'd have a lull on offense, and then sometimes that would affect their defense, and they'd give up a mini run. They have not been doing that, and the scores of these games show that.
No doubt, and I think there's a couple factors to that. One, again, I think the move of the year for Iowa was to put Jordan Bohannon back at the one guard. And I know he hasn't been the permanent guy at the one. I know he's played a lot of shooting guards still, but just to get him in the rhythm of the game and to start out the game like that, I think that's been very good. The other thing, too, is to get Tony Perkins going, especially in that game against Nebraska, was such a big deal. If he can hit threes consistently, that's such a big deal. On top of that, too, Connor McCaffrey might be the best shooter in college basketball. You know, it's amazing what happens when you don't shoot the ball with two torn hip labrums and, you know, a bad back and all the other injuries that Connor's kind of had to deal with throughout his career. But he's shooting the ball fantastic there. Keegan Murray's been consistent. I think Chris Murray's had a lot of really good second halves. And Iowa, while, you know, obviously they have a star in Keegan Murray, they just have a bunch of guys that can go out there and get you 8 to 12 points. I mean, that's, I think, been the beauty of this team. And the reality, too, is when they're playing good defense, their offense is just so much better. And their defense is head and shoulders above what it was last season. So I think taking all those things into account, like you said, there really hasn't been a scoring lull. I mean, obviously every team goes a couple minutes without scoring, but there really hasn't been a time since, I'm trying to think back, Steen. Maybe obviously the Rutgers game, maybe a game or two after the Rutgers game would probably be the only thing I can think of. But I think Iowa's done a really, really nice job at just being consistent at both ends of the floor and at no better time of the year right now, too. I mean, Steen, I would argue that they're playing better team basketball than they have in the past 2 years over the last month.
Absolutely. And I think the one thing, if they look back this year and just for maybe a seeding purpose or something else, those last two or three minutes of that Penn State game, boy, they want that back. They want it back really bad.
It is funny. Obviously, you know, there's a couple of things with that Penn State game, obviously the Rutgers game. You know, and look, it's not on the officials. There were a couple of really bad missed calls. But at the end of the day, Iowa had plenty of opportunities to close out those games, and they didn't. But I will say, I think it's really taught them a big learning lesson just going forward throughout the rest of the season. And without those games, Dean, I mean, I do question if Iowa does end up making the move to putting Jordan Bohannon back at the one guard. And, I think that that's been such a big deal, this offense. And I think it's really helped Keegan Murray continue to be more efficient, because the reality is when Jordan Bohan's on the floor, even if he's not shooting well, number one, I think he's playing really, really good defense. I know he's taken a lot of heat for his defense over his career, maybe deservedly so, but he had a lot of injuries. But he's been great on the defensive end, and just spacing. I mean, Keegan's getting opportunities to be able to shoot the three, drive, post up, back to basket, shoot mid-range, create his own shot. Because Bohan's on the floor and at that one guard spot, there's just more spacing on the floor, and they're not going to be able to double-team Keegan Murray as much. And again, with Connor McCaffrey shooting the ball so well, they aren't going to be able to keep doubling off Connor, because right now he's making defenses pay.
Absolutely. One of the things that I thought today, you know, we were going to talk about one kind of a player of the year award. Now, I didn't think I was going to have to come in here and talk a little bit about the Big Ten player of the year award. Are we really going to have Johnny Davis be in the same conversation with Keegan Murray? Do you buy into that at all?
I mean, I really do think that Johnny Davis is going to get it. I think that Greg Gard's going to get Coach of the Year. You really can't argue it right now. I think with Greg Gard, especially just given what they were expected to do, if Greg Gard didn't exist, I think Fran McCaffrey would be the Big Ten Coach of the Year based on everything that they've lost. Look, Johnny Davis, I think, has been fantastic this year. He's had a lot of really good games, but I think he has struggled a bit over the past couple of weeks. But when you look at the ranked teams he's played this season, he's really balled out in a lot of those. But I mean, Keegan Murray's consistency has just been stellar. And, you know, the reality, too, is, you know, you talk about the Penn State game, talk about the Rutgers game, right? You know, just take away from the seeding standpoint and the resume standpoint. If Iowa wins both those games, I bet Keegan Murray right now is probably the Big Ten player of the year. And that's just the reality of those type of awards. Is it the best player? Are we talking about the best player on the best team? And I know that transcends into another conversation, which I'm sure will be brought up as well. But look, I think without a doubt, Kofi Coburn's, I think, taking a step back. But I also think Kofi's game is extremely limited, no matter how dominant he is. I think without a doubt, the best two players in the Big Ten this season have been Johnny Davis and it's been Keegan Murray. But I would vote for Keegan Murray just based on consistency. But I can't really flame anybody for putting Johnny Davis in that category as well.
Now, see, here's the only reason why I agree with you, by the way, and why I agree. You knew what you were getting in Johnny Davis, and he's probably met expectations. And that's what he's done. He's met expectations on a Wisconsin team and made them better. We didn't expect this from Keegan, and he has carried and moved his expectation mark up so high and then stayed there. I think it needs to be rewarded, and I think the season that Iowa had and what the season people were expecting Iowa to have should play into that as well. But, you know, I get it, and I agree with you. It's, you know, I don't know why it always is that way, but once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He's at David Eicholt on Twitter. And, you know, on the women's side in the Big Ten, there was no discussion. Caitlin Clark was Big Ten Women's Player of the Year. And I think you and I both agree with that. And I think the championship game proved that point, because I just had Coach Kevin O'Hare, who was at Dowling, has worked with Caitlin a lot in bringing her up with helping her with basketball. And we said the same thing today. I had him on, and it was, there was no way in the world that Caitlin was going to let them lose that game. That's how she plays. And there's nobody else. I'm telling you, there's nobody else like it in women's basketball.
No doubt. And, you know, to go back to your other last point real quick about meeting expectations and whatnot, maybe that should be taken into a factor. If that was taken into account, I mean, Caitlin Clark would have been National Player of the Year last year, because exactly. Iowa wasn't supposed to make the tournament last year, and I still think that she should have got it over Paige Beckers, but that's another conversation for another day. But no doubt. I mean, I was in attendance for that game when she put up the 38 points. I mean, it was just greatness. I mean, it was one of the greatest performances I've seen live. And I've watched Luka Garza live. Obviously, I've watched a lot of Jordan Bohan. I've seen a lot of sporting events. But what she did, no turnovers through, I think, the first three quarters, 38 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds, logo threes, leading the team, getting everybody involved. I mean, it was just – those are the type of games that define legacies, for fair or not. But Caitlin Clark just put on an absolute clinic. And I tweet after the game, and I still stand by it. I don't know how you watch that game and say that's not the player of the year.
Yeah.
You just can't. With everything, they have three top 10 wins in the past 8 days in an 8 day span. They had to win out the last four games to be able to close out for a share, at least, of the Big Ten title. They did that despite the COVID stoppages, despite McKenna Warnock being injured, despite all the other adversity that they faced this year. I mean, Caitlin Clark and that Iowa team have done a stellar job. And now I think they're going to be able to host for an NCAA tournament hosting. So she's box office to get. She gets put on LeBron James' Instagram story. The numbers don't lie. First woman ever to lead the nation in points and assists. I mean, I know you feel the same way, Steen. I don't know why we're having this discussion, but it just is what it is.
It is. And I actually, when we were watching the game this past weekend, I was sitting there and I would rewind because I was trying to prove a point. And my point being, because people think a lot, some of the stuff that's out there is because, well, she has too many turnovers, bad, whatever, or she's selfish. And I wanted people to see, I mean, I'm clicking it with my phone. I'm rewinding. When she hits a three-pointer, she goes down the floor, she claps her hands, and she's calling out defensive plays. When she passes and gets an assist for a bucket, she runs up to her teammates, she high-fives them. That's not made up. That's the truth. And that's somebody who has all the talent in the world, and her biggest thing she likes to do is have assists. Now, does she like to shoot from the logo? Does she like to score? Absolutely. She thinks that's just part of her game, and that's that. When she gets other people involved and she makes great, not even great passes, just makes passes and they score, that's a huge deal for her, and I think that matters.
She hates talking about herself, Steen. Oh, she hates being in the presence of people talking about her. That's just not her personality. I mean,
she didn't dig your question. Are you? You said that, David.
I'm working. Here's my thing. I'm working on a column right now for her Player of the Year thing, and I asked Lisa after the game. I said, not to detract from, you know, the big team win, but, you know, with the award season coming up, and I didn't know when voting was. I probably should have looked that up before I asked the question. But I flat out asked Lisa right in front of Caitlin. I said, she's the best player in the country. Lisa gave me a phenomenal answer. And Caitlin hit her face in her hat. She was not happy at all. I asked that question.
Okay, so here's why I wanted to have you on, because I did, over the weekend, I did some number crunching. And I'm even willing to give somebody a fighter's chance, but it's not who everybody else is saying. Everybody else is saying it's Aleah Boston, because
I know who you're about to say, I think, too.
Because she's the best player on the best team, which means absolutely nothing. If you want to talk about the best big that's in college basketball, I watched Nelissa Smith tear apart a Iowa State team that's really, really good, and Ashley Jones in particular, who is an All-American and is really, really good. This gal played unbelievable. Now, if you want to take her and put her up against Caitlin, it's still double for Caitlin and not for her. But it's at least closer than it is with the gal from South Carolina.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, I was talking to some people about it, and I think some people think it's a hot take. But, you know, here's the thing, Steen. This is my favorite thing about this entire argument, because obviously once South Carolina people got wind of Lisa Bluter's comments, they were not happy. So shocked, I know. Shocking, right? But with that being said, my favorite argument that I've seen is Caitlin Clark's great, but Boston's better. There's no other context. Every single reply is Boston's better. There's no statistical evidence. Oh, she plays better against top competition. That she's more consistent against it. Well, Caitlin Clark just had three top 10 wins in an 8 day span, averaging well over 30 points and 50% shooting. I mean, the reality is, Steen, like, no matter what way you slice it or dice it, I mean, Caitlin needs to be player of the year. Her usage rate isn't even number one in the country, but she still leads leads nation points and assists. And my other argument was some South Carolina person put out a stat that nobody talks about Caitlin Clark's turnovers, but how about Boston? She doesn't even have as many turnovers in 3 years as Caitlin does in 1 year. I mean, are we really at the point where we're this dumb? Are we mind-numbingly dumb of where we're going to compare the turnovers between a point guard in one of the fastest offenses in the country with among the highest usage rates to a player who gets the ball in the post and doesn't bring the ball up or is not supposed to initiate the offense, is not being double and triple teamed? I mean, come on. I mean, what are we doing here, Steen? I mean, it's crazy, but, you know, it drums up dialogue, and the reality is it is good for women's basketball that they're having these debates. But I'd also, again, the flip side of it is if you want to hold back women's basketball and the popularity of it, give the awards to the wrong people. The reality is Caitlin Clark's the best player in the country, and I do believe that she should win it. And not even just win it, she should be unanimous.
See, and so I even went one further, David, and I'm sometimes I can geek out on this stuff. So I thought, okay, let's throw scoring and rebounds out, and let's say, because she has too many turnovers. So I'm like, okay, so I took Boston's stuff. She had 50 assists, she had 39 turnovers, she had 32 steals, and she had 75 blocks. That's plus 118 if you give pluses for the assists and the steals and the blocks. Smith from Baylor, she's actually only plus 15. If you do the same for Caitlin, so you take her 100, she has 126 assists, and when her turnovers, she's plus 153. So even in that argument, if you look at the numbers instead of just spouting them out, you can't win. And I agree with you. I doubt very much that she's gonna get Player of the Year. I just don't. It comes from a little bit of ESPN and SEC, and it's real, and people don't want to think that there's bias out there. It's real, and it affects football, it affects basketball, it affects baseball, it affects it all, and it's too bad. But I agree with you. There's nothing you and I can do about it, and Caitlin probably, all said and done, doesn't care as long as they're winning.
Yeah, and that's the other part, too. At the end of the day, I mean, she's going to be about her business. And if you want to add another chip to her shoulder going down the stretch, I mean, that's probably the last person I'd want to upset. But, you know, we'll see what happens. And then the reality, too, is, Dean, she's got two more years to win it, maybe three.
Maybe three. I love that. Maybe three. David, as always, buddy, thank you, man. Have a good one. Get better.
Yeah, you too, bud. Appreciate you.
Yep. Bye. David Eichold. I knew that was going to be fun. Had a blast. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Maddie Nelson, we got Cyclone Talk coming in here now. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM. 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Just tried to call Maddie Nelson and I didn't get an answer, so just waiting for him to try to give me a call back, or I will grab him next segment as well. I tried extra time there. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, website is 1700thechamp.com. You also can check mine out. It's at Steen on Sports. I'm trying to get a schedule. We have Big Ten tournament. I think that's a big deal to come on the radio. I want to see how that looks, for next week. We're going to have the Missouri Valley on here as long as you and I's in there. And we definitely will have the championship game, at 12:30 as long as you and I wins out. I'm not sure we'll carry it. If they're not, I'm assuming that we will not. So we have that all going on. This segment is going to be brought to you by, who do I want to do? Let's see. We're going to do, I will give Laser Home Services another shout out here. If you are looking for some help in heating, cooling, plumbing, or electrical, you can give them a call at 515-758-7720 or check them out online at laserhomeservices.com. You can schedule online. You can schedule by giving them a call. You're going to know what they're going to do. You're going to know who's going to be your service guy. You're going to know what time they're going to arrive at your house. And you're going to know what's wrong with the equipment that's being looked at and the pricing that it's going to take to fix it before anything is done. No surprises. That is a really good customer service. They've been providing home services to Des Moines for over 20 years. Once again, 515-758-7720. Okay, tomorrow night, it's a big night. One, I get to hang out with B-Sox tomorrow. KGGO is going to be live at Wellman's Pub and Rooftop in West Des Moines. He's going to be live there from 2 to 4. I'm going to be live there from 4 to 6. We're going to be watching the Iowa-Michigan game. Yes, you heard that right. Steen is coming to watch an Iowa Hawkeye basketball game. Because I want to. Because I like to. Right now, you can check out Circa Sports Iowa if you would like. You can go to at Circa Sports. You can check out their sports betting app. Tomorrow, you can meet the Circa Sports team. That will be fun. You can find out how to get some free Circa swag. You got food. You got drinks. You got B-Sox. You got KGGO. You got Steen. You have my oldest Zach coming with me. We have all kinds of things to do. You also can register to win a free pair of all-session passes to the Big 12 men's basketball tournament. That is March 9th through 12th. That's coming up, folks. It's getting here. It's coming really fast. You can Circus Sports. Let's talk about Circus Sports for a second. Circus Sports Iowa. Circus Sports features the highest limits, lowest holds, and the sharpest odds, which means higher payouts on your winning wagers. Download the Circus Sports Iowa app by visiting circussports.com. You might want to do that before you come tomorrow night, just in case, however, you know, internet or whatever's going on. Sometimes it's nice just to have it. I downloaded mine last week when this came about. And I can't wait to go tomorrow. It's been a while since I've been out to Wellman, so I'm looking forward to that as well. Free circus swag, food and drinks. You can sign up for the app. You can ask questions. All kinds of stuff happening tomorrow, and glad to be a part of it. Okay, so talking a little bit about the Iowa State Cyclones tonight, who has a game against Oklahoma State. And it's the last home game, and it's a big deal. You have some seniors that are available to not play anymore. I don't know if that is going to be the truth. If you can play an extra year, listen, do I think that Isaiah Brockington has the capability, the qualities, and the athleticism to make it in the NBA? Absolutely. Let me check here. Hold on just a second. Okay, I've got Matty Nelson. So we'll just start from right there. He is Matt Nelson. He is at MNelson_ISU. Matty, how are you? And I have to hit the button. I need your daughter here to help me run my studio. That's what I need.
My daughter is here, Steve. We were visiting some family and getting ready for this basketball game.
There you go. I just started talking about Isaiah Brockington. And I guess My thought process is, yes, they're going to go through senior night. And I was just saying that athletically and skill-wise, he has the capability of getting to the NBA. Do I think another year and having another year like he's continuing to have this year and maybe being a lot more comfortable taking that extra two steps out or maybe three steps out and shooting the three could make him a better NBA player? I think it could. I think there's a good chance maybe he comes back. What do you think about the rest of – I mean, I think Jazz Coons has a really good shot at coming back. I think Gabe might come back. What's your thought?
Yeah. You know, on Isaiah, it's kind of harder to figure out seeing where I see him going. I think the way that he can defend and rebound and get hoops is something that the NBA can use. And he's not terribly small. I know a lot of, you know, shooting guards in the NBA are maybe – 6'5", but he's right in that size for that position where he could be what, you know, a typical 3-and-D type player. It would help certainly if he was 6'8" and could do those things, of course, but that size is rare. I do think he would, you know, the choice is probably going to be make a lot of money in Europe, maybe hope an NBA team takes a flyer on you as a late second or an undrafted free agent, or, you know, possibly stick around on a team that could be better next year and maybe, you know, take a little bit more of the spotlight. Iowa State hasn't played in many big games. They weren't scheduled for many on prime TV slots this year. That may change next year. In terms of, you know, Kuntz and Kalscher, I absolutely think there's a great chance that they come back. I think Gabe definitely has some things that he can continue to
to improve upon. I mean, if he could just have 1 year where his shot really fits for his size, you know, he would also have a decent shot of playing possibly in the league. And Jazz, I think, would be a huge asset to this team next year. I think there's going to be playing time to be had, too.
Yeah, I agree with that. And getting back to Isaiah, and I agree on what you said, and I think his three-point shooting in the last five, six games, I bet has opened up eyes in the NBA that weren't open when he was being really good. Him hitting threes consistently, and truthfully, you felt bad for him because you're just like, hey, it's one shoe. Take one step backwards, and you're shooting the same shot. You don't know how good you are, and I think that is going to help him. You know, I was thinking about the whole team, and you know, sometimes you worry about, you know, kids coming back and the transfer portal being so big. And the one that I can't wait to get to watch next year is to get to watch Tyrese play again and just be that much better. There is no way in a Big 12 conference that you should be able to be a freshman and handle the pressure and play defensively and hit big shots like he's done this year.
It's been incredible to watch. He's going to get a triple-double at some point, Steen. It is going to happen. He's been close a few times already this season. He's just an incredible player, and he will come into next season as, you know, probably one of the best in the Big 12. He's got to be a, you know, a second-team All-Big 12-type player already this year. Maybe he won't quite get that far, but I think everyone realizes just how good and how dynamic he is. Not only watching him, but you add Taman Lipsey and Eli King into that backcourt next year. That now becomes really, really fun to watch. And I think Lipsey and Tyrese have a lot of similarities in their game. I think they're going to complement each other really well, too. And that certainly got me excited for them playing next year.
And has there ever been a better story than to have Caleb Grill come back and have an, I mean, people love him and have an up and down season, but not as much down, because even if he's not hitting his threes and stuff, he still plays great defense and he still does all the little things. But what he did in that last game with blocks and rebounds and passes and big shots, it is so much fun to see him playing at that level.
He did that against West Virginia too, Steen. He had a huge offensive rebound late in that game. So he's really been good for them all season. Strangely enough, not in Hilton Coliseum, but as long as we get his services like that on the road, I'm good with it.
I am too. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is I sat with my mother-in-law, Nana, my wife, Jen, and we watched the Baylor and Iowa State game. And I don't know if I've seen a basketball game that athleticism was so much at the top of what everybody was thinking. You know, that doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen to Coach Finley very often. But when you look at that, do they have to do a little bit better job? And I think this incoming class, maybe they have a little bit. They do have to get a little bit more athletic.
They do. I would agree. I was at that game, and it was very, very clearly two different classes of physicality, of aggressiveness. And, you know, I think if you want to make a valid criticism of Bill Finley that they're not a physical team and they never really have been, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. We've known that about these teams. You know, Bill said after the game, you know, I'm not going to apologize for who we are and the way that we play, but it is going to hurt you against who, Steen? The teams like Texas and Baylor, teams that Iowa State lost to this season. Everyone else, they're going to be great against in the NCAA tournament. If the matchups favor them, would it surprise you to see them make the Final Four? It wouldn't. However, that's always going to be their weakness, and you know, they could draw. You know, if they're a three seed, what's to say you don't draw a really physical 14 seed, right, and have to play that same type of game? So it's definitely something that you can't just ignore. It's probably something that does need to be addressed in the long run.
And this is something I posted on social media, and I'm like, here's the part of basketball that we, as coaches, I've coached a lot of years, that we don't understand. It's how we can struggle so much against Texas and so much against Baylor, but just take Oklahoma to the woodshed, and Baylor and Texas have a hard time beating Oklahoma. Baylor's lost twice to them. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. It's almost like clockwork. It can set your watch to us struggling with those two teams and then blowing out everybody else. I heard Billy Finley say on a podcast this week that
they haven't beat anybody besides Kansas State by less than one basket. So they've very clearly been dominant all season.
Yeah, it is fun to watch. Something else that's really fun to watch, and once again, we're talking to Matt Nelson. He's at MNelson_ISU. I don't know how the Iowa State Cyclones are going to do in this upcoming draft. I think people are going to be surprised. If you can win over NFL hearts with your intelligence and the way that you act, Iowa State's going to have a really good showing in the draft.
I completely agree, and you'll have to apologize. Charlotte is making herself known in the background. I think they are going to have a really good season. It's just exciting to see this many players, one, in the combine, but two, be this involved with the NFL process. Knowing some of these guys, you know, Breece Hall and Charlie Kohler are going to be high draft picks, and Chase Allen's probably someone that's going to surprise people, as well as, you know, Uwazurike. I think they're going to go higher than people expect them to. So it's just a huge moment for this program. If you're a Cyclone fan, watch the combine. Pay attention to it. This is not something that happens for this program very frequently, and I think, you know, could be, if these guys perform well, Steen, both at the combine and in the draft, as they get their career started, you know, the NFL does look at where players come from and who coaches them. So this could be a great thing for the program in the future.
I agree with that. And it's kind of funny. I think my wife and I think a couple of my buddies are like, I didn't even recognize some of them because they kind of got rid of their COVID hair for a while. clean shaven and short hair. And you're going, who is that? But
who are these professional looking guys? Yeah,
exactly.
No, I agree with you.
Expectations for the Iowa State women in the Big 12 tournament?
You know, seed-wise, they should avoid Baylor until the finals. So I think it's get back to the finals and see if you can't, you know, get 40 minutes of three-pointers to fall against that team. I think that's the recipe. I didn't really see it from them. I was at the game on Monday night. Didn't play fast enough and didn't shoot enough threes. Working the ball inside way too much, and it just seemed like a deviation from the game plan.
Expectations for Iowa State men?
You know, TCU winning last night kind of upset the apple cart on getting the 5 seed unless Iowa State manages to win out. I would say the expectation is to pick up a game. If you get Texas Tech in that first game, it's a team that you've beaten already once this season. Try to earn one win. I think regardless, Dean, that they're probably locked into a 6-7-8 range. If they split the games this week, most likely they'll go into the NCAA tournament as a 7 seed. However, if they win a game in Kansas City, they win tonight and lose close to Baylor, they could be a 6 seed.
I dig it. Tell the girls I said hello, and thanks for coming in, Maddie. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, Dean. Go Cyclones.
Maddie Nelson. I love talking Cyclones. You are listening to Scene on Sports. We're live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. I got one more segment. Be right back.
Before she became the first
CCI.org. Nothing's off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Wednesday, the hump day. We are getting close to the weekend. We're on the downhill. Beautiful day out there today. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website is 1700thechamp.com. I want to take this time to thank my sponsors. I always had it, man, they made that writing so small. Build My Future. Once again, we'll continue to talk about that. It doesn't come up until April 13th. We'll continue to talk about that one. Northwest Bank, Laser Home Services, Woodman Controls, BetMGM. Glad to have them all a part of the show. I appreciate what they do for us, for me. To be able to get to sit here and talk to you. Want to thank Coach Kevin O'Hare, David Eicholt, and Maddie Nelson for coming in. Margaret as well, since Margaret was joining us today. I appreciate that. Tomorrow, once again, we are live at Wellman's Pub and Rooftop. B-Sox and KGGO from 2 to 4. We'll overlap a little bit. I'll jump in early just so I can be down there and hang out with B-Sox for a while. Then we take over from 4 to 6. It's Iowa, Michigan. You can come in. You can watch the game at Wellman's. Meet the Circa sports team. Find out how you can get some free Circa swag, food, and drink. Sign up for Circa Sports app in person or by visiting circasports.com. It'd be fun if you want to do it early so you're ready to go when you come in and see what's going on and while we're having some fun talking about sports betting tomorrow. You can register to win a free pair of all-session passes to the Big 12 Men's Tournament in Kansas City, March 9th through the 12th. Yes, that is getting close. We are, that's a week. Week away. We are a week away from the greatest 2 weeks in basketball, getting the conference championships and lead into the NCAA tournament. As my buddy Tim Murray, and we'll try to get Tim Murray on next week, has said, if you really want to have some fun in Vegas and you still have time, go out during conference championships because you can watch all those while you're in the sports books out there. They also have four different sports championships that happen in Vegas, so you get to watch all that. And it's probably a little less busy than it'll be during the NCAA tournament. He said that's the best week to come out is next week. So take a chance on that. And he's with the Visa Network. That is actually, they are in the Circa Sports book. Circa Sports features the highest limits, lowest holds, and sharpest odds, which means higher payouts on your winning wagers. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app by visiting circasports.com. There you go. So they have all that coming up tomorrow. So we'll be live, not in the studio tomorrow, but live. A ton to talk about, I would assume. And we'll have a lot of fun. And hopefully you will continue to join us. Just kind of going over, so Iowa State gets Oklahoma tonight, Oklahoma State. It's a big game. I'd like to see them get that win and kind of give Baylor a run for the money. Baylor's had some tough games, so, you know, and I think they're at where they're going to be at. And for tonight, it's a special night because it is senior night. These gentlemen are going to go through senior night. George Condit, Carter Booth, Isaiah Brockington, Gabe Kaushar, and Jazz Coons. So you have that to look forward to tonight when you see that game. And then they finish out the season with Baylor this weekend. Tomorrow, the game watch there is Iowa, Michigan. And I agree with David. That's a big game. A win there kind of solidifies and gets Iowa that double bye, which they would really, really, really like to have. So I don't know if we did enough yesterday to kind of go over. Bowen Bourne got the sixth man of the year. A.J. Green was the player of the year. He was first team. Roman Penn was third team. Noah Carter, Tucker DeVries, and Garrett Sturts was second team. That's a big deal. So pretty excited about that. Got a lot of tweets and talk about Jack Devlin hitting that half-court shot. He's a manager on the Iowa Hawkeye basketball team. What a great story and what a great atmosphere that was for that young man. I think that the biggest takeaway with baseball is – And this is my take. I still don't think the owners understand the importance of that baseball players are the reason that we watch baseball games. You know, we like nice stadiums, but man, you charge a lot of money. We like to have baseball stadium food. You charge a lot of money. We like to watch the baseball players play. Tickets are a lot of money. The person that holds all the cards are the owners, and if this is the players' only, it's their only time that they can take a hard stand. And I think before that people would just be against the players because of the money they make. And I think they're now understanding it's not just about the players that they see every day and they love and adore. and you think that for some reason they should be doing it for free, which they shouldn't be, but it's all the rest of the players that are under them that aren't getting high paychecks and aren't getting the same type of things. And ownership knows that, and they haven't done anything about it for a long time. So if you're going to take a side, and I'm not telling you that you have to take a side, and I'm not telling you what side to take, but if it was me, I know the side I'd be taking is for the fans of baseball. And right now, the only thing stopping the fans of baseball from enjoying baseball is major league owners have locked the players out and nobody wants to watch the owners, so there's nothing to watch. I don't know if I've... Thomas Ehart, he's the Des Moines superintendent. He is retiring. He has been Des Moines superintendent for a long time. Done a lot of great things. Had some things that people weren't happy with, but he believed in and he kept going. It's hard to replace people like that. I know not everybody was happy with everything. Who is? The way we are as a society anymore, if you had everybody on your side, something's wrong. So just understand that. I said this yesterday, but it was as we were going out. Jose Andres is a celeb chef. Whenever there is a national disaster, especially in the United States, Mexico, any of those places, he's there. He has a food convoy. He has people that are willing to step up with money, labor, and do anything that he wants to do because he sticks his nose in and he makes things better in places that it's not easy to make things better. He is on the border trying to help people that are fleeing, people that are trying to come and help, all of that. He's trying to help feed them. And the really funny thing about it is I don't think he needs money and I don't think he needs anything. He needs your love, your prayers, and your thoughts. I think that's what he needs because he has everything else under control. The guy's a machine. And once again, Jose Andres, look it up. Go to social media and look it up and see who he is and see the things that he does. It's incredible. We talked a little bit about this earlier in the week too, just to kind of summarize again. The Big Ten, I do believe, and I think a lot of people do believe, will be the first conference to break $1 billion in media rights. Yes, not the SEC. No, it's going to be the Big Ten. And it's going to be up from $440 million. So they're almost tripling what they have had before. So one of the biggest baseball things I think that's, and since it happened in Iowa, one of the brightest spots of Major League Baseball last year was the playing the game at the Field of Dreams. If you didn't listen to Kevin Costner and watch him walk out and watch him do all the things that he did and you didn't cry, I don't know if you're human. I'm just kidding. We went from that high point, right, to the low point of a strike. They can't get out of their own way. And I don't know how to help them. I wanted to give a shout out to, at the girls tournament, they gave out a sportsmanship award and that award went to Kevin Otte. I've coached with Kevin Otte for a long time. We've worked side by side in all kinds of dowling things from seat backs to concession stands to eighth grade coaching. A great man, probably deserves much more than that, but I guarantee you he walked away with the biggest smile on his face. Congrats, Kevin. Nobody deserves that more than you do. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 1700 The Champ AM 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Wellman's Pub tomorrow. Here's a look at